Our guest for the half hour is Nancy Tengler. She is the CIO, also the CEO at Laffer Tengler Investments. She joins us from Lake Tahoe. Nancy, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us. The Fed's clearly got an inflation problem that's pretty big, and it's not going to be really clear for a while yet in terms of gauging the effectiveness of higher interest rates. How much more do we have to go in terms of the rate story, do you think?
Well, that of course is the question of the hour. I think that we'll probably see the Fed pause at the end of this year. They're likely to go 75. We've been advocates of, hey, let's get this front end loaded and get an effective attack on inflation. But they've been pretty deliberate, a little bit faster than some may have thought, a little bit slower than many wanted, but I think we'll get the 75, maybe a 50 and a 25. And then I think they're done for a while. I mean, we really did see all the indications that inflation was rolling over. So I think this number, it may be revised. It may just be an aberration, but I do think we're at peak inflation.
Yeah, inflation has proven more enduring now than both the Fed and the markets clearly anticipated. So we had a little bit of a rebound today on for U.S. equities. Do you think rebounds going ahead from here are going to be a little bit more cautious?
Well, I think we have to all remember that in the very near term, as in yesterday, what drives stock prices are the computers, the algorithms, and hedge fund traders. So you get these outsized moves off of the headlines. But that once we step back and take a look, I mean, if you think about what drives inflation, we saw PMIs, particularly manufacturing, have started to roll over. Inventories are up. Prices paid are down. Delivery times have improved, which means that supply chains are easing. Freight costs are down. Housing is rolled over. And then we got the inflation break-even curve just a few weeks ago that uninverted, and you had the two-year at the lowest level since February of 2021. So I think what the market is going to begin to do is look forward to the next steps. And we are likely to see a recession, but that does not necessarily mean that stock prices can't go up. And so you really want to be focused on companies that have reliable growth. We like dividend growers because that's an indication of their growth and it's an offset against inflation.
It doesn't sound like you expect the Fed funds rate to get to 4% at the end of their kind of tightening cycle here. Ray Dalio today was saying if it goes to 4.5, equities could come down about 20%. That doesn't seem to be the way you see things right now.
Yeah, no. So we think we will get to 4 probably or close, 3.375. But there are a lot of cross currents that affect this. And Ray is a smart guy. I'm not going to disagree with him. He may be right if we get to 4.5. I'm just not convinced we're going to get there. I mean, I think one of the things that investors are not thinking about or talking about, and that's probably because the Fed's not talking about it, is the implications of QT, quantitative tightening. There was a great article over the weekend in Barron's that was written by Lisa Balfus and talked about the requirements of Treasury supply that are going to be needed to offset QT. And then you've just got a rising budget deficit. It's been declining, but it will be rising. And that to service that, the CBO estimates that we're going to need another $1 trillion in Treasury supply a year. So there's going to be a lot of volatility in the bond market and in yields. And I think that a lot of this is going to have further influence on the Fed because the tightening effects, the Fed really can't quantify it. Economists say somewhere between 1% in rate hikes to 4%. But that's going on behind the scenes starting tomorrow.
So Nancy, we've been talking about the macro environment, inflation, what the Fed's going to do next. So with all of that in mind, how are you making money out of investments at the moment?
Well, Paul, a couple of ways. One is that we had said in August of 2020, we thought bonds were riskier than stocks, and we moved our clients out of bonds into some alternatives and convertible securities. We are now dipping our toe back into the bond market, building short ladders, high quality corporates. And so that's one way. And then within our strategy, as I mentioned earlier, we have a 5-star Morningstar rated equity income strategy. So kind of a workhorse strategy, large cap exposure and focused on dividend growers. And so we began adding risk back into that portfolio In June. But prior to that, we had been moving a little bit more defensive and as I said earlier, reliable earnings growers and reliable dividend growers. So names like Microsoft, Raytheon, EOG, Johnson & Johnson, Broadcom, and Public Storage. Those are among our largest holdings. And those are companies that all have meaningful and robust dividend growth. So the trailing dividend growth on that portfolio is 20%. It's hard to believe that you could get that in this environment, but investors should be focused on dividend growers for the near and long term.
Are you seeing opportunities offshore right now that you're taking advantage of, particularly in Asia, whether it's China or another market in the APAC?
So we do have exposure to Taiwan and Japan in our global strategy. We had steered clear of China. I thought the news today that they are allegedly in discussions with Moderna could be a game changer. That country has really had problems, and I think Xi has made, you know, has really dug too deep of a hole on the lockdown. So that could be very interesting to us and be a catalyst for us to get back in. But we do still like the U.S. better than rest of world because we think that the recession here will be shallower and less, you know, and the strong dollar is keeping our inflation, believe it or not, somewhat muted and hurting the emerging markets, obviously.
In terms of China, the Party Congress is coming up, President Xi likely to get a third term there. Once that's locked down, do you see that perhaps the air is clear for some reform and a few changes? And would that change the picture for you?
He has been so unreliable as a leader. And by that, I mean in terms of investing in the country. And I think even to his own citizens, I think the mortgage boycotts are important and not talked about nearly as much as they should be. But I think for us, the issue would be more around the issue of whether or not they reopen and demand begins to return. They do have a lot of leverage to pull. We all know that they can, you know, work very diligently with monetary policy and fiscal policy. They can do whatever they want. So it may be that will clear the air. We're probably going to be a little bit slow in terms of returning because the last round was pretty bitter for many investors. It took a lot of market cap out of a lot of names. So we're still finding pretty interesting places to be in the rest of the world.
So you mentioned a strong dollar a moment ago, and I'm wondering, Nancy, whether or not you believe that as the market begins to discount a pause, if you're right, a pause in Fed tightening, whether maybe the best days for the dollar are behind us somewhat.
Might be, Doug. I think for multinational companies, that would be somewhat good news. For commodities, that would also be good news. We have a strategy that invests in the metals and miners of that are surrounding planetary decarbonization. And many of those names many of the metals have sold off pretty materially. And yet we know that as the world moves toward green energy, that those metals are going to be in demand. So it's all been kind of disconnected. We would call it an opportunity to add in some of those names. But in half of our portfolios, a weaker dollar would probably be a good thing from an earnings and standpoint. But it's going to put pressure on inflation, and excessive government spending is also going to put pressure on inflation. So I think sticky, persistent inflation is here for a long time.
All right, Nancy Tengler, CEO and CIO at Laffer Tengler Investments. Thanks so much for joining us today on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.